Hello and welcome to Indie Radio Garden. This week's highlights from Community Radio in the Philadelphia region.
I'm Joanna Wykander, Program Director at G-Town Radio, and I'm happy to welcome you to this week's Indie Radio Garden.
Thank you, Joanna. We have a very special guest today. It is super important for us because on February 13 was the World Radio Day, and we want to celebrate in a very special way. So we are in the Radio Garden, and we are going to open the gate to the garden and let the kids come and play with us.
We're really excited to introduce Anjali Kenton. She's a program director of PA Youth Votes, and we've been working with the students at PA Youth Votes about putting together a radio show for G-Town Radio, showcasing teen activism through the pandemic and beyond.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, I'm not surprised. I've been working with them too. Angelique, why don't you tell us?
Hi, my name is Angelique Hinton, and I am the program director for PA Youth Vote. And I have the privilege of working with an amazing group of students. We have been working together through all of quarantine and through the election last year, and just working to really help them tie things they care about to the act of voting, and just how to make their voices heard and to hold their elected leadership accountable to serving their needs and the needs of their communities.
My favorite thing about this project, when you brought the project to me, was when you talked about how involved the students were with getting people registered to vote. And my favorite part was some of these kids weren't even old enough to vote yet.
Yeah, just a few were actually eligible to vote in the last election. But it was weird because during quarantine, which was the time that was dedicated to us kind of building teams in schools, they weren't in school. And so it was impossible for us to do that. And so what we did was we spent time where I had these students and I had to find a way to keep them engaged. And so I brought in and we talked about just locally elected offices and how those offices played a part in their day-to-day lives. And so they got an opportunity to talk to a council person, a school board member, and they really understood and got to understand how all of those people are so important and why it matters to pay attention to who's running for those offices and to vote for them. And so that just tied into them moving into that Black Lives Matter moment where all of those issues elevated up, right? Inequitable school funding, did we have diversity coordinators in school, over policing, all of those things tied into those conversations that we had had, and it clicked for them. I think they will be advocates forever because of that. And so now they know who to hold accountable for a lot of the things that, you know, they care so deeply about. And I think that's what's missing a lot of times in, well, one, we don't teach civics in school the way we used to and should. And so I always find it unfair that we say, well, young people don't vote. And we don't teach them why they should vote. So why would you invest yourself in something you don't even understand how it matters or ties to you personally? But I was able to teach them those things, and now they get it, and they care so deeply about so many things. And I think that, you know, elected officials should be careful and watch out because, you know, we have like, I'm working and these students now understand, and they are now becoming ambassadors and they're telling their, you know, peers. And so, you know, they get it now and they are very excited to make sure that they pass this very important information on and teach other people how to hold elected officials accountable.
And it's a vast network of students. Where are these students from?
Initially, I worked with a small group and they were from Philadelphia School District. And then we expanded some. And so now we have students from Philadelphia School District, primarily Central High School. We have some students from Bucks County, We have a few students from Westchester, Pennsylvania, and we have even a student from Harrisburg. And so our goal is to just engage students all across Pennsylvania and help them become part of, you know, what we call a movement. And so like it was, that's what I kept saying last year. And we talked about like that Black Lives Matter. It was like, you know, we have to make this a movement, not a moment. And so what we're doing at PA Youth Vote is definitely about a movement and helping people understand the power of their voice.
How is this transition, Angelique, to being to the work on Get Out the Vote, to the radio, to produce radio? Please explain us how these things happen now.
I was at a barbecue, not a barbecue, but like a celebration after the election, the day of the election, actually. And I was having a conversation with a board member just about the exciting work that we were doing. And just like many people in that conversation, she became very excited too, and just hearing all of the work that the students were doing. And, you know, she said, like, I'd like to talk to you more about how we can elevate that. And so when I talked to the students, I wasn't sure, you know, how they were going to feel about it, but these students are brilliant. And I think they understand, you know, how much power, you know, they actually do possess now, and their voices have become so important to them. And so I think they saw it as an opportunity to really kind of just expand on who they could reach with their message. You know, the kids, I said, listen, if you're interested, because we're very, you know, it's very important to us at PA Youth Vote that this is student led. And so we don't want to feel like we're driving this car and telling the students kind of what they need to do. We like them to kind of tell us, you know, and then we will help facilitate it. So when I talked to them, I said, if this is something you want to do, then I need you guys to sit down and think about what this would look like and how you would like this, you know, information to be shared.
I am very inspired by them and their dedication and how they don't view this as homework, because I know at that age, I might've viewed this as homework, but I'm amazed by their confidence and their voice. Because I started in community radio in my late teens, and I did not possess the confidence that these kids have in their voice. And I'm very thankful for this younger generation and their activism and their inclusiveness and how they know they have the power to change what things that they think are unfair. I'm just so impressed by them.
I think it's time to let the students talk by themselves. Joanna, you want to introduce them, please?
So I'd like to introduce these four incredible students. Our first interview is from Anika Chaudhry from Westchester.
Good afternoon, Ravish. Thank you so much for sitting down with me today. As we face new challenges and an unprecedented quarantine as a result of this unforthcoming pandemic, I'd like to get some insight into how COVID-19 has affected your life personally. Such an event like this has made working, communicating, and all-around living much more difficult. In these times, what has been the most notable change to your personal and work life?
You know, I think the most notable change to my personal life has been virtualization of everything. Initially, it was hard, but then I came to the conclusion that the fundamentals have not changed. I still need to eat. I still need to watch movies. I still need to do a lot of different, I still need to work. But what has changed is we order in or we cook more. We, you know, for work, it's all about Zoom. We're still working. We're still eating. For it's Disney Plus and streaming videos rather than going to theaters. So that, once I realized that it's more about just a new way of working, but doing the basic things, I was more at peace. So that's what's changed.
That's a really good perspective. In this new environment, how do you feel about the government's response to the pandemic? Do you feel safer with the new policies being administered, or do you feel like it's made COVID-19 harder to navigate?
I think the government is doing the right thing. I think we've seen some political posturing, but I'll not go into that. I think the government is, by and large, all the governments are doing the right thing. Most of the governments are driven by science. And, you know, I have been closer to COVID and in the nature of work that I do. So I understand where they're coming from. I understand that it's not humans that are deciding the agenda. It's the virus. So literally, I mean, whether you like it or not, whether governments behave one way or not, it will be driven by science. So I'm okay with what they're doing. And in fact, I actually support them. Now, the other question, of course, is the economy part. And it's not such an easy answer. But that's a discussion for another day.
With that, do you have any opinions on the new COVID vaccines and how they're being developed? Do you have any concerns?
No, and you know what? Lots of times people talk about vaccine hesitancy, and you know, I am more closely aligned to vaccines, and I've never seen one person say I have vaccine hesitancy. But the way it comes is, you know, I'm not sure about the safety, I'm not sure about the efficacy, and I don't know what will happen in terms of side effects. So personally, I don't. Because we have seen how trials are done. I've been involved with a lot of other trials as well. So personally, I don't. Also because, you know, these trials are done with 30, 40,000 people, and you're more worried about the safety aspect. The efficacy we kind of already know. But now US has already immunized 43 million people. So initially, it's the first 25, 30 days that you see a lot of side effects and all that. And that has not panned out. So the data that we have in real world is much, much larger than the clinical trial. So personally, I'm all for it. People should get vaccinated.
Lastly, is there any advice you could give to our audience listening in today that you have found to alleviate adjusting to COVID-19 and this quarantine that we're in?
So I'll just say, go to the basics. That has been my mantra. Always focus on the basics. Now, why do I say that is I have, you know, there's a lot of discussion about digital transformation. And the one thing that I learned is digital transformation is not the transformation of digital technology. It's people. People digitally taking digital transformation to do the basic things. And if we think that we are being digitally transformed and Zoom and all that is a big thing, think about 20 years ago, people stopped writing on pieces of paper and completely switched to emails. That was digital transformation then. We were talking on phones, and now we simply don't talk on phones at all. Now we simply text. So phone means sound, but we are now, it's a texting device. So I'd say, going back, the way to I see it is the fundamentals have not changed. We still need to eat, we still need to be entertained, we still need to work. But now what we're doing is this technology to help us. And can you imagine if we didn't have all this technology and pandemic has hit us? So it's actually a blessing in disguise. The only thing is it would have been spread over years. That's all happened in 1 year. So we get to stay home. And the other part is we spend more time with family and work at the same time. So it's best of both worlds.
Well, I love that optimistic perspective. On behalf of myself and our listeners tuning in, I cannot thank you enough for sitting down with me today and giving us some more perspective into COVID-19. I hope our discussion here will be able to help the vast community affected by this pandemic. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Our next interview is from Miriam Batanani from Central High School.
So the COVID-19 pandemic has been a part of our lives for about a year now and has affected us uniquely so. Some people in terms of their jobs, some people in terms of their education, their schooling, some people even, God forbid, with losing family members and getting infected with the disease. And my question to you is, when did you come to the realization that this is a real pandemic? When did it become set in stone that this pandemic is beyond just the social media scares and that it is truly affecting people?
Okay, so when the pandemic first started, like in March, I mean, just seeing the numbers increasing every single day and more lockdowns happening throughout the world, processing anything was a struggle. Like, that's not even exaggeration. And I didn't really come out of this mindset, this condition, till the summer. Like, so yeah, like reality, I had no clue what reality was. But around August, around September, it kind of became set in stone that, like, normal is no more, and it's not something that we will experience for a very long time. So I'd say it was around that time when I fully processed that this was real.
You bring up a really great point about this idea of normalcy and how we are starting to feel like we will never live our normal lives again. But with the mass distribution of the COVID-19 vaccine, with schools reopening and jobs reopening, some at full capacity, these are the steps towards normalcy. So my question to you is, what does normal after a pandemic look like? I mean, will we still have practices from the pandemic? Will we, you know, what does that look like? How does that play out in your mind?
So in my mind, normalcy after the pandemic, I think we definitely will take some of the behaviors that came about during this pandemic and then use them. So I think people will be using masks when they have things like colds, things like flus again. I think people will take viruses and just illnesses in general a lot more seriously. But honestly, that's just, like, in general, to define what normalcy will be is really hard to answer because we're not even seeing the effects as we would, you know, like 5 years from now. And there's just so many effects that could come about. Like, there's an entire generation of kids who are learning to read online. Like, the effects are unimaginable. Yeah.
Yeah, it's insane to think of our youth right now and what they're going through trying to learn the fundamental blocks of their academic career through a computer screen. And even as Gen Z, the generation of technology, we don't resonate with that idea. So there's definitely like this holistic level of change. But more on a personal level, how has this pandemic affected you? Do you feel like you've become a new person due to the pandemic in terms of personality, in terms of behavior? How did the pandemic specifically change you?
And so, as you said, we've noticed a lot of change, especially just with our surroundings. But personally, like on an introspective level, how this pandemic has affected me, it made me realize a lot. I won't even lie. And it's been hard, really. And I mean, I think a lot of people can say the same. It's like you're forced to be with yourself for, I think this pandemic has been going on for a year. It's like you're gonna have some outcomes. But as for me, I'd say this circumstance has really allowed me to dissect what it is really me, and what it was performance to soothe others and to comfort others. I've learned a lot about myself that I definitely did not know before. And it's not to say that these things were not always within me. I think they were. It's just when you're in an environment where you're crowded with so many other people and so many other ideals, it's really hard to recognize yourself.
And our next interview is also a Central High School student, Sophia Cavaccia.
Hi, everyone. I'm Sophia. I live in Philadelphia, and I'm on the phone with my big brother, Freddie, right now, who's a freshman at Cornell College in Iowa. So, Freddie, do you want to introduce yourself, say what grade you're in, say what college you're going to, and say how you're enjoying it?
Yes, my name is Freddie. I'm from Philadelphia. I moved to Iowa because I wanted to go to Cornell College. I'm a freshman here.
And are you liking your freshman year?
Yes, I do. Like, even if we are in the middle of the pandemic, I'm having a good time. Like, so far we're doing good here. We don't have a lot of cases as we used to have, so I think that's something good.
Yeah, I'm a senior in high school, so I'm very excited for my freshman year of college. And I wanted to ask specifically on the COVID pandemic, because I know that you probably expected freshman year of college to be a little bit different. So I wanted to ask what precautions Cornell College is taking, and what are some things that you can't do now because of the pandemic that you thought you would be able to do?
Yes, so before I moved to Cornell, I was expected to have a lot of freedom in college. But then when I came here, they told us about the rules. And I mean, the rules, I think it's something good. It can be like, I don't know, bad for some people, but I think for me it's good because I haven't gotten COVID so far. And the precautions that they are taking, just like you need to wear your mask everywhere you go. And I mean, they are trying to not have a lot of people in the same room. Let's say some classes, most of the classes are online right now, and maybe they're planning to do it like in person or hybrid, maybe in the next block. And I mean, that would be something good for everybody.
Yeah.
Because at least we're going to have some time to interact with people.
Exactly. And I know going to college during a pandemic is very different than you probably expected, but the precautions that Cornell is taking is very important and very awesome that they're doing that. I wanted to ask how you're feeling on the campus, if you're feeling safe, if you feel like Cornell College is handling the situation well.
I think they are really, they're doing a really good job with this situation. I feel safe. I don't feel that I'm going to, let's say I'm going to get out of my room and get COVID, like outside of my room, because so far we have zero cases. They send like an email every Wednesday or like one time per week saying like, you know, just letting us know how many cases we have. And so far it's been 2 weeks and we have zero. So I feel that they're doing a good job. So I feel really safe here.
That's really, really amazing to hear, Freddie, that you feel safe on your college campus, as you should, as anyone should. And the last question that I wanted to ask is, you said that you are feeling pretty proud about your school, how they're handling it. But is there anything that you wish your school or the state of Iowa in general should be doing that they're not doing right now?
Yeah, so what I know is that the Iowa governor is like giving these new rules that you should not wear a mask. And I think that's really stupid because, you know, wearing a mask is a way to prevent the virus. I mean, what Cornell College said, like, it doesn't matter what new rules the governor is going to give to the state, they're still going to keep the same rules here. Like, we have to wear a mask every day, everywhere. And I really agree with that.
Yeah, it's really important to wear a mask. I want to thank you, Freddie, so much for taking your time to talk about your college experience in the middle of a pandemic. So have a great day, Freddie.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Ciao.
And our final interview is from a student in New Jersey, Safiya Ahmed.
Hi, my name is Safiya Ahmed, your favorite talk show host. And today, we have a very special guest here, which is Rayat Ahmed. Rayat, would you like to express a few words about yourself?
Hi, my name is Rayat Ahmed. I am 14 years old. I use he and him pronouns, and I am Tasia's younger brother.
I don't have a younger brother. I don't even have any siblings. But I do appreciate the sibling bond you have with me. It'll definitely help us with today's topic we're discussing today, which is the COVID pandemic. The COVID pandemic has obviously been a very hectic time for us. It's also very sensitive for many people who have lost their lives, who lost their mental state, who lost their normalcy. Pretty much anything that they once loved and cherished, now gone. So in today's talk, we're going to be having Raya answer a few questions available today about his thoughts and feelings about the COVID pandemic and how he was able to manage it, cope with it, and much more. So, Rayat, my first question for you is, how has the COVID pandemic impacted you, and how were you able to overcome that?
I feel it's been like a very scary pandemic because a lot of lives were lost, and how people were just always like really sad during this pandemic, and how I really went over it is just I had my siblings with me during the whole time.
I deeply appreciate your input and your response towards this question, but I also totally understand how you feel. Many people have lost loved ones, are not just the only thing we lost. We also have lost people who were once so loving, caring, now just so lost and confused because they don't know how to manage this pandemic. We've also lost, most of us, like, our jobs, our school life, some of our friends, and much more. And we all deeply miss our normal life, as you expressed in your response, very much. But a year has passed, and our once normal life is no longer existent. Our current normal life is what we're living in right now. Our routines, our schedules, everything is our normal life right now. And returning back, once COVID's over, it's going to be much more difficult. However, COVID pandemic does have its perks. It definitely was a time to be reflective, to open up new ideas, to start advocating for people's rights, and much more. So, my second question for you is, what is one thing you don't miss about your normal life, or one thing you enjoyed during this COVID pandemic, one or the other?
One thing I really enjoyed was I was at home, and I felt like a much comfortable environment at my house.
Although we have obviously been stuck in our homes, being our computers all day, doing the same classes that have been annoying the heck out of us, and much more. Definitely the sense of comfort and being of your loved ones has definitely made the process easier, as you expressed in your response. And not just family members, but also technology has been super convenient. We've been able to connect with people, share ideas, share our thoughts and feelings about the whole situation, and cope with the situation better than normal people would have back then, or even now without the use of technology. Now, my final question for you is, we are uncertain of when we're going back to. We don't know if it's going to be this year or next year, or even like for us after our high school years or after your middle school years, for you at least. We don't know. Everything's uncertain. But if you could imagine a life COVID-free and you walking in as a new person, what would you imagine your day being like once COVID's over?
I think it'll be very awkward because since like we've been all in classes for the past couple of months and Google Meet or Zoom, so it's gonna feel like weird since we see like our teachers in person and other people in person as well.
What about just yourself overall? How different would it be for you out once COVID's over? Do you think you'd be able to connect with friends easier? Do you think your relationships you've built during this COVID pandemic with your family or friends or whatever would be the same anymore?
I feel like it'll just be the same. I'll feel a little bit awkward at first, but then I'll get over it.
Thank you for your time, Raya. I deeply appreciate your responses and your input about the whole COVID pandemic. This surely can be relatable to many people outside of South Jersey, maybe in North Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, whatever. People can definitely relate that COVID pandemic is a very awkward, weird time. But overall, it's a time to reflect and making sure that we are enjoying everything we have before it gets taken away. So thank you for your time. Thank you for listening. And have a good day.
I'm impressed. I'm happy. And I think we have the best proper celebration of the World Radio Day.
I'm so excited, and I'm glad we have new voices we can elevate and showcase for World Radio Day.
Angelique, thank you. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you so very much for having me.
Thanks for joining us today on Indie Radio Garden. We will see you next week.
And thank you, Angelique Hinton, for being with us.
Thank you so very much for having me.
I am Pavel Uranga, Scrap Radio Project. And this is a show from Prometheus Radio Project. Thank you for being with us.
So one final message before Indie Radio Garden signs off, and that is, please behave.